Welcome. Today we're diving into a topic that, well, a lot of people have heard of, but maybe don't fully understand clavicle fractures.
That's right, the good old broken collarbone.
Exactly. We'll break it down, make it easy to follow, whether you're maybe dealing with this yourself or you're just curious. Now, the information shared today comes from the shoulder education section of orthoeducation.com. It's a great resource, free, high quality, peer reviewed, all designed to help patients understand these kinds of conditions better.
It really is a fantastic site.
But please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with a musculoskeletal problem or have, you know, any concerns about your health, you absolutely need to consult a trained healthcare professional.
Definitely key. This isn't medical advice.
Right. Okay, so let's unpack this. We want to give you a real shortcut to being well-informed about clavicle fractures.
Yeah, let's get into it. So maybe start with the basics. What is a clavicle fracture?
Good place to start.
Simply put, it's a break in your collarbone. Now, this bone is pretty interesting. It runs sort of horizontally across the top of your chest.
Right. You can feel it pretty easily on most people.
Exactly. It connects your breastbone, the sternum, all the way out to your shoulder blade. And it acts like a strut, really. It's crucial for your shoulder's strength, its stability, and just, you know, the wide range of motion we expect.
So when it breaks, I imagine it's pretty obvious.
Oh, yeah. Typically, you get immediate, pretty sharp pain. There's usually swelling, maybe some bruising right over the break. And moving your arm, especially trying to lift it, that becomes really difficult, often very painful.
Okay. So given how important it is, how do these fractures usually happen? It feels like something that could happen in a lot of ways.
You're right. They are surprisingly common. And the causes are pretty varied. Most often, it's from a direct fall right onto the shoulder. That's probably number one.
Okay.
Or sometimes falling onto an outstretched arm. The force just travels right up the arm to the collarbone.
Aye.
And then, of course, a direct hit. You know, getting slammed right on the collarbone. We see these quite a bit in, say, young athletes.
Contact sports.
Exactly. Football, hockey, rugby, that kind of thing. But it's not just organized sports. Accidents while, like, biking, skiing, skateboarding, those are big ones, too.
Right.
And car accidents, unfortunately. Direct impact from a seatbelt or just the crash itself.
Wow.
And actually, much less commonly, but it does happen, they can occur in babies during a difficult birth.
Really? That's quite a range. Does how it breaks influence where on the collarbone it breaks? Is there a spot that's more likely to go?
That's a great question. And yes, there definitely is. While the cause can vary, the location is pretty consistent. About 80%, maybe even more, happen right in the middle third of the bone.
The middle part. Why there?
Well, it's simply the thinnest and weakest part of the clavicle, almost like it's designed with a bit of a weak spot there, a natural stress point. Less commonly, you might see a break closer to the shoulder blade end, that's the lateral end, or closer to the sternum, the medial end. Those are a bit different and sometimes need different thinking when it comes to treatment.
Okay, so knowing how easily these can happen, the next big step is diagnosis. How do doctors actually confirm, yep, that's a broken collarbone?
What's interesting here is how straightforward the initial diagnosis often is. Usually a doctor starts with a good physical exam.
Just looking and feeling.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They'll carefully look for the obvious signs, swelling, bruising, maybe a visible bump or deformity where the bone ends are. Patients are almost always maybe tender if you press gently on that spot.
Makes sense.
And they'll usually have a hard time moving their shoulder because of the pain. Limited movement is a big clue.
Right.
But to really confirm it and see exactly what's going on, they almost always order x-ray.
Standard procedure.
Exactly. X-rays give a really clear picture. They show the precise location, the type of break. Is it just cracked? Is it in pieces? How far apart are the pieces? All that detail.
Right.
Now, sometimes, though it's rare, if the fracture looks like it might go into a joint, or maybe if they're planning surgery and need a really detailed, like, 3D map.
More complex cases.
Yeah, exactly. Then they might order a CT scan. But honestly, for most clavicle fractures, simple x-rays tell us everything we need to know.
Okay, so diagnosis confirmed, x-rays show the break. Here's where it gets really interesting. What happens next? What are the options? That's got to be the main question on someone's mind.
Absolutely. And the good news really is that most clavicle fractures heal remarkably well with the right approach.
That's encouraging.
It is. Now, the choice of treatment, that depends on a few things, like where exactly is the break? How displaced are the bone ends, meaning how far apart or overlapped are they?
Okay, the severity.
Right. And also, the patient's age plays a role, and their activity level, what do they need to get back to doing?
Got it.
So broadly speaking, you've got two main paths. There's non-operative treatment, think sling and physical therapy, and then there's surgical treatment. Surgery is usually considered if the bone pieces are way out of place, significantly displaced or shortened, or if the bone actually pokes through the skin.
An open fracture.
Exactly. But the big picture takeaway here is that most patients, whichever path they go down, tend to regain full function. It just, well, it takes time. Healing can be several months. It's a bit of a journey.
That's good to know there are options, and the outlook is generally positive. Let's dig into that non-operative path first. If someone doesn't need surgery, what does that recovery journey typically look like?
Yeah, so if we connect this to the bigger picture of recovery, these non-operative approaches are often the first line, especially if the fracture isn't too badly
A
displaced.
less severe breaks.
Right. The main thing is putting the arm in a sling. Simple, but effective.
Just a standard sling.
Usually, yes. Its job is just to support the arm and shoulder, keep things stable, stop you from moving it too much, and just allow the bone ends to start healing naturally. Sort of like a cast for your collarbone, but using your arm's weight for traction sometimes.
Okay. And what about pain? I imagine it's quite sore.
Oh, definitely. So pain and swelling management is key early on. That usually means rest, using ice packs regularly,
Right.
and taking medications. Often over-the-counter stuff like acetaminophen Tylenol is a common brand, or NSAIDs, those non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen.
Yeah.
They help with both pain and the inflammation.
Makes sense. So you're in a sling managing pain. Then what? You don't just stay still forever, right?
Absolutely not. That's crucial. After a few weeks, once things start to settle down and the initial sharp pain subsides, gentle exercises for the shoulder and arm are started
Why so early?
to prevent stiffness. If you keep the shoulder completely still for too long, it can get really stiff, lose range of motion, and that can be a whole separate problem later.
Okay.
So, gentle movement first. Then, as the bone continues to heal over the following weeks, strengthening exercises are gradually introduced. The goal is to get back full motion, full strength, full function.
Yeah, how long does that non-operative healing usually take?
Typically, the bone itself is mostly healed in about 6 to 12 weeks. But regaining full strength and function can take a bit longer. And it's really common, actually, for a small bump to remain over the fracture site even after it's fully healed.
A bump.
Yeah, it's called a callus. It's basically the body's natural healing response, like a little lump of extra bone that forms around the break site to make it strong again. Think of it like nature's cement. It usually smooths out a bit over time, but might stay noticeable.
Got it. So that bump is normal, not a sign something went wrong.
Correct. Usually completely normal and just part of the healing process.
Just a quick reminder, everyone, that the insights we're sharing today on clavicle fractures are based on information from the shoulder education section of the free and peer-reviewed patient education website, OrthoEducation, at www.orthoeducation.com.
A great resource to check out.
Definitely. So, okay, we've talked about the non-operative right, which sounds like the path for many people.
Yeah.
But when does surgery become the better option? What pushes things towards needing an operation for a broken collarbone?
That's a really important question because deciding on surgery is a big step. It's
Yeah.
typically recommended in specific situations where just using a sling might not give the best long-term result.
Like when?
Well, the main reasons are if the bone ends are widely separated, like there's a big gap between them and they're not touching, or if they overlap significantly, causing the bone to be much shorter than it should be.
Why is shortening a problem?
It can lead to shoulder weakness, changes in shoulder mechanics, sometimes even ongoing pain or cosmetic concerns. Also, as we mentioned, if the fracture breaks through the skin, that open fracture surgery is usually needed quickly to clean it out and fix the bone, reducing infection risk.
Okay, so if surgery is needed, what does that actually involve? What happens in the operating room?
The most common procedure involves making an incision over the fracture site. Then the surgeon uses typically a metal plate and several screws to hold the broken bone pieces together in the correct alignment.
Like internal scaffolding.
Exactly. Holds everything perfectly still while the bone heals underneath. Sometimes, depending on the fracture type and location, a surgeon might use a rod or a pin placed inside the bone instead of a plate on top.
And what are the main advantages of doing surgery?
The biggest benefit is getting the bone perfectly aligned. This usually leads to optimal function down the road, potentially faster return to some activities, and often a smoother cosmetic outcome. You avoid that prominent callus bump you can get with non-operative healing.
Right, because the bone is held exactly where it should be.
Precisely. Now, after surgery, patients might still use a sling, but often for a shorter time than non-operatively, and then they'll start a guided rehabilitation program, physical therapy, much like the non-operative path, to regain motion and strength.
And the recovery from surgery. Generally good.
Yes. Most surgical patients recover very well. The bone usually heals reliably because it's held stable. One thing, though, sometimes the hardware, the plate and screws, can cause irritation later on, maybe rubbing under the skin.
Ew.
Yeah. It's not super common, but if it becomes bothersome, sometimes a second, smaller surgery might be needed later just to remove the hardware once the bone is fully healed.
This raises an important point, then.
Yeah.
What are the potential challenges or complications?
Mm.
Even with good treatment, things don't always go perfectly right. Mm. What should people be aware of?
Absolutely. That's a fair question. And while, like we've said, most people do very well, complications can happen. It's important to know about them.
Okay.
One main concern is something called non-union. That just means the bone fails to heal completely. There's still a gap.
It just doesn't knit together.
Right. Or there's malunion, where it does heal, but it heals in a bad position, maybe crooked or shortened or rotated.
And that causes problems.
It definitely can. Both non-union and malunion can lead to ongoing pain, significant weakness in the shoulder, maybe a noticeable deformity, and just generally limit how well you can use your arm. It can really impact daily life.
Mm.
Very rarely, the sharp ends of the broken bone could potentially injure nearby nerves or blood vessels. It's uncommon because the clavicle is pretty close to the surface, but it's a theoretical risk.
Okay.
And then if you do have surgery, there are the general risks that come with any operation. A small risk of infection at the incision site, the hardware irritation we just talked about.
Meaning it removed later.
Exactly. Or potentially needing another surgery if something doesn't heal quite right the first time, though that's also uncommon with modern techniques.
So there are potential bumps in the road.
There are. But, and this is really important to stress, despite these possible risks, the vast, vast majority of patients with clavicle fractures, whether they're treated with a sling or with surgery, make a full recovery and get back to their normal lives and activities.
That's definitely the key takeaway. So what does this all mean for you if you're curious about clavicle fractures? We've really covered the whole spectrum, haven't we?
I think so. From how they happen, falls, sports, accidents.
Right, to how they're diagnosed, usually that physical exam and a clear x-ray.
Mm-hmm. And then the two main treatment paths, conservative care, you know, the sling and physical therapy, which works for most cases.
Or surgery for those more complex breaks where alignment is key.
Yeah. And the bottom line really is that most people recover well, regain function.
It really is quite amazing when you think about it. The body's ability to heal a broken bone like that, supported by these different medical approaches.
It truly is. It speaks volumes about the resilience of the human body. And also how far medical care has come in helping that process along, allowing for such successful recoveries from what can feel like a pretty major injury at the time. It makes you think, doesn't it? How does understanding this healing process, this partnership between the body and medicine, how does that influence how we maybe approach physical activity or think about preventing injuries in the first place? Something to mull over.
That's a great thought to leave people with. We have just discussed clavicle fractures based on information from the free, easy-to-understand patient education website, OrthoEducation, available at www.orthoeducation.com.
Check it out if you want to learn more.
Absolutely. And please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with an injury or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional.